Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, one a day, where we discuss some part of a chapter of scripture each day. This is April 19th, Acts chapter 19. Let's get to it. As I mentioned in yesterday's podcast, the history of the church at the city of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey is going to be a focus when it comes up in the New Testament. Well, today we have the second snippet of the church's history. There are several happenings in this chapter, so I'm going to have to be brief with each part. Remember how Apollos had come to Ephesus, preaching powerfully but with an incomplete gospel, not knowing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We might call that little problem number one. That leads to little problem number two. Paul returns to Ephesus, where he meets a dozen believers who had not heard about the Holy Spirit yet, having received only the baptism of John the Baptist, who, of course, was gone before the Spirit had been given to the disciples. So they were baptized. Then Paul laid his hands on them, which was a common practice among Old Covenant priests and of Jesus himself, and they speak in tongues and they prophesy. And Paul stays in the city, preaching in the synagogue for the next 3 months. But, as has happened often, there's controversy within the Jewish community, and some Jews oppose Paul's message. Sounds a little like problem number three to me now. So, Paul moves over to the lecture hall of Tyrannus, an impressive building with space for plenty of people, and here Paul has perhaps his longest ministry, staying 2 years in this arrangement. And Ephesus, being an influential city, affects the region around it as well. All's well, in spite of a little controversy among the Jewish community. Now we see little problem number four, the seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a leading priest, and his seven sons were traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. We can assume they did so in the name of God and that they were having some success in using their prayers and incantations. But when they got to Ephesus, they saw powerful miracles being done by Paul in the name of Jesus, and they were impressed. So on their next exorcism, they used the formula, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." But the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" And the man with the evil spirit attacked and beat all seven of them up, so they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So much to say about this story, but I'll only ask one question from it. If I were to try such a thing, would a demon know my name? Or might that evil spirit say, "I've never heard of you, and I don't have to obey what you command"? Know that in the hierarchy of spiritual power, demons are at least seven times stronger than a human, apparently. But thanks be to God, the name of Jesus is infinitely more powerful than any demon, including the prince of demons himself. And best of all, any wholly devoted followers of Jesus tap into that same spiritual power. Just don't try calling on the name without being fully committed to him, or what happened to the sons of Sceva could happen to you. Well, if you think that's kind of scary, you're not alone. The whole city, Jews and Greeks alike, came for a spontaneous bonfire just to burn any books of sorcery or with incantations. Turns out, many people who follow Christ also seem to have a second secret life. They want to follow Jesus and call upon his name, but they have backup plans of other sources of spiritual power. Suddenly, the whole town realizes this is no game. The books were worth several million dollars in today's currency. That's a lot of side hustle for believers to engage in. In any case, they rid themselves of all these forbidden things, and the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. So, little problem number four was resolved, right? Well, you see, those books that had been worth several million dollars means there was some source of those books making good money. And the sellers of idols and incantation books were none too pleased to have their income disappear. So this is a bad revival. And they all get together and vilify Paul and the Christians, especially offended that their great temple of Artemis was being undercut. A riot broke out to the shouts of, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." There was confusion as to what it was all about, who the enemies were, partly because there was no sound system with technology to get the word amplified and broadcast. Anyway, a riot was breaking out. Well, happily, the mayor was able to quiet it down and disperse the crowd. It had been quite a day, but things are settled down for the moment. No, let me come back and ask the question a different way. Would you and I cause a riot because of our strong alignment with Jesus? Or are we just nice people with a Bible?